Okay. So, like, Ashley has no clue what I'm gonna share today. So it's so crazy when the Holy Spirit just caught you this time, because it's like, you'll see as I share, this is like, what you just said was like, crazy. Yeah, there's a God in heaven. Like, what he said about sharing and being vulnerable, that's actually really, like, a key part of what I'm going to talk about today, so, praise God. Today, we're not doing a series, we're kind of like, we've done some series, and then, today is just a message. I was reading this part of the Bible in my quiet time, and I was like, wow, like, this is so on point for me and for Soar right now, and I just feel like, wow, this is a message we need, so I was really excited to give it to you. And so today I'm going to talk about Psalms 32, because I was reading the psalm and it was like God was speaking me through it, so I wanted to share it with you guys. Let me pray, and then we'll jump into it. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much that your Holy Spirit's moving. God, it was so crazy. I don't know why I'm still surprised anymore when you do stuff like this. But God, I just thank you how you're speaking. You're speaking in worship. You're going to continue to speak to your word, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would empower me to speak your word and that you'd empower all of us to hear it, God. Give us open hearts to hear what you want to say, God. And I pray that we would not be resistant to you in any way today, but that we'd have open hearts to receive everything you want to say to us, and that we would just like open our lives bare before your word, and let your word do whatever it wants in us. Like, no defenses, no guards, just whatever your word wants to do, we submit to that. God, I pray that as your word goes out today, that you would do that in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So yesterday, I was trying to work on this message, and I was getting distracted, because that's what always happens when I work on a message. And a buddy of mine, who I have not talked to in, like, probably 6 years, he graduated from SOAR. I kind of, like, taught him how to lead worship, and then it was really funny, because basically I was like, I'm not sure if I, like, you know, I feel like worship-wise you're kind of barely there. Maybe I'll trust you to start leading some stuff. And then he moved. And I was like, darn it, you know, like, right to the point where it's like, we can serve and stuff. And the next thing I know, there's this video of him online, and he's opening for some super famous Christian band in Hong Kong. I mean, it's sort of Parachute Band. Anyway, he was opening for Parachute Band, and like, I was like, what the heck? Anyway, he's gone on, and then last time I talked to him, he wasn't really walking with the Lord. And so I was really excited to meet with him again. He's now walking with the Lord. It's really cool. He's in Peru, working with basically working to alleviate poverty there. And the reason he was calling me is he's like, hey, Kenny, I'm raising money. I'm raising money to feed kids here in Peru. And I'm going on this trek. I'm going on this 137-kilometer trek. I'm going to do it in 2 days. I was like, dude, that's crazy. He said, first day, I'm going to hike 37 kilometers up into the Andes Mountains, right? And then the second day, it's going to take 12 hours. Then we're going to crash. Then the next day, we're going to get on a bike, and we're going to ride our bikes for 100 kilometers through the Andes. And I was like, dude, you're crazy. But he's doing it to raise money, so he's training right now. But as I was thinking about that, in regards to today's message, I was thinking about how often, if you've been in the church at all, or you hear people talk about Christianity or whatever, they'll use words like, oh, your walk with God, right? You guys have heard that before. Or you're like, your journey with God, right?
Relationship.
Your voyage with God. I mean, we don't say voyage with God. But basically, we use these kind of terms that talk about kind of like this, it's like this path, it's like this hike. And the reason we talk about it like that is because knowing God is not just an experience. It's not a one-time experience. I think sometimes people think of it this way. It's like, oh, you know, I like went to an event, I had an experience, and then I was like, wow, God's real. So I just like, boom, okay, I'm a Christian now. And now my whole life is just like, you know, that one experience was what kind of defined everything. But that's not actually what it's like. Knowing God's not a one-time experience. And I would say, knowing God is not even a once a month or once every 6 month experience either. It's not like I know God and then I kind of like do my own thing and then I have this experience with God, and because I have these intermediate experiences with God, I believe in Him and I consider myself a Christian. walk with, like, a relationship with God is a walk with God. It's a journey with God. It's a path with God. And there's things that define that walk. That life lived walking with God looks different from other lives. Okay? There's things about it that are characteristic. I mean, this makes sense that each person has kind of like a life journey, right? Most of you guys are in middle school or high school, especially you guys older guys. You're trying to figure out what's my life journey going to be, right? Well, what am I going to be about, right? Am I going to be in the office 9 to 5 designing bridges on AutoCAD, you know? Or am I going to be a musician? Or am I going to be an actor? Or am I going to be, what am I going to be? What am I going to spend my life? What is my life journey going to be, right? Some of you guys know I love rock climbing. A lot of people, their life journey is they're a climber, right? And you're like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And they're like, yeah, I'm a climber. And when they say I'm a climber, they mean something more than I just go to the gym once in a while to go rock climb, right? They mean I live in a van, right? And I eat, like, granola bars 3 meals a day. And I shower once every couple weeks, right? You know, that's like when they say I'm a climber, right? You guys don't know climbers. Okay, well, climbers are like that. They're weird, okay? Or if you, anything else, you're like, someone says, oh, I'm an actor. What do you think? Well, they're a little bit off, you know? Right? Hey. You know what I'm saying, though? Or if someone's like, oh, I'm really into, like, death metal, right? Like, if someone says, I'm like a metalhead, right? There's things that define that life. You guys know what I'm saying? Right? Like, or even if you say, like, you know, like, I am a, stereotypical Asian, brainiac, right? There's things that kind of define that life. You guys know what I'm saying? There's a life journey, and there's things that define that kind of life. And as you guys are picking what kind of life you are going to go on, there's things that will define it. Right? There's things that's going to define it. Well, the life following God has certain characteristics too. There's certain things that a life lived for Jesus looks like. And so today, I want to read Psalms 32. And I just was like reading through it, I was like, oh, this is what life with God looks like. These are kind of the key parts of what it means to live for God. So if you get your phone or your Bible or something, flip to Psalms 32. Yeah. Psalms, this is in the middle of the Bible, biggest book, 32. We're going to read the entire chapter. I know, it's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
The entire,
reading.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Chapter
32. Alright.
What verse?
We're going to read the whole bit.
Oh.
Okay. Alright, so this is, in case you didn't know it, the book of Psalms is actually like a lyric book. You know, you go to, like, azlyrics.com to, like, look up the lyrics for your songs or whatever so that you can sing along to that rap song. Yeah. Psalms 32. You guys know when you have that, like, rap song that you don't know any of the words because they're, like, you know, whenever you're singing, you're like, and then, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, you know, whatever. And you go to the lyrics, AZ Dirt lyrics, whatever, and you look up the lyrics so you can see, like, Lecrae singing. Psalms is a lyric book. It's ancient Jewish people, this was like their worship hymnal. These were the songs that they sang. And this song was written by David, King David, a guy who God described as being a man after God's heart, someone who loved God and wanted to know God, and his life was circled, the center of his life was God, and his pursuit of it and everything was God. So this is what he wrote. He wrote this: blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. So transgression is like bad stuff you do. Blessed is the one whose sin, bad stuff they do, is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Okay, so there's like a couple things that, a couple markers of a walk with God, of a life with God that are in here. And so I want to go through them today. The first one is verse 1 through 5. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the one who the Lord counts no iniquity against, and whose spirit is no deceit. So what he's saying is blessed, or happy, or like, basically their life is cool and epic and awesome. Epic and cool and awesome is the life of the person whose sins, whose junk they've done, is covered over, is forgiven, is like gone. Like, that's an epic life. A blessed, amazing life is one where the junk you've done in the past, all the sin, all the like anger, all the bitterness, all the perversion, all the stuff you've done, that's all forgiven and taken care of. That's an awesome kind of life. That's what David's saying. And really, in the walk with God, this is what we have to understand. The center of a walk with God is what we Christians call the gospel. And the gospel is the good news. What that good news is this. There is a way for the bad things you've done to be forgiven. And this is really crazy, but think about this. Think about this. If I go out and I'm like, hey, Nathan, and I slap him on the cheek, right? Right? Now, I've wronged him. I've done something. And I now am a violent person, right? Is there anything I can do to make me not a violent person anymore? What can I do to stop being I've already slapped him, and I'm in this moment right now. Boom, up. How can I not be a violent person? If I'm super kind to 10 people, does that make me not violent anymore? I'm still a violent person. Right? Right? If I kill somebody, I'm a murderer. Right? If I give them lots of money, do I stop being a murderer? Right? Let me tell you something. If you lie, you are a liar. If you've cheated, you are a cheater. If you've sinned, done something wrong, you are a sinner. Is there anything you can do to change that? No. Right? We don't like to come to terms with this, but this is the reality that we all live in. If you've lied, you're a liar. In fact, Jesus said, if you hate, it's the same as murder. So if you've hated somebody in your heart, you're a murderer. How many of you guys are murderers here today? I mean, let's be honest. Probably all of us. Right? Now, what are we going to do about that? Let me tell you something. You may think you can just be good enough to, like, get back on track. You can't. There's only one way to be blessed, right? To the epic life where sins are forgiven, right? Where the bad stuff you've done is wiped away and covered over. And that's through God's gift of Jesus Christ. And God gave his son. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world. That's us, all the people in the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him would not perish, not like basically have to face the consequences of being a murderer and a horrible person and a sinner, but is not perish, but instead have eternal life. So when Jesus died on the cross, what God did is he took your hatred, your murder, my lying, my cheating, and he took all that and he placed it on Jesus Christ, and then he punished Jesus in our place. And this is the good news. And this is the number one characteristic thing about Christianity, about knowing God, is that Jesus died to save us from our sins so we could be these people that David's talking about. The blessed people whose sin is covered over. If we forget this, then we'll get messed up in all these certain things. Sometimes as Christians, it's really easy to be like, okay, how can I sin less? And yeah, we should try to sin less. We should try to stop murdering people, you know, in our heart by hating them. That's not a good thing, right? We should stop cheating and lying. Like, that's true. But if we focus only on that, and we're like, oh, I'm going to, like, you know, be a great person and whatever. And I forget about the fact that the only way for me to get saved and forgiven and changed is through the blood of Jesus, that I miss the whole point of Christianity. And you end up in really weird places too. Right? You end up being actually not really epic. It's not a blessed life. If you're like, oh, I'm just going to be super epic and I'm going to not be hatred and I'm going to like all this stuff. And then what happens is either you get super frustrated because you can't accomplish it on your own. Then you start beating yourself up even more and more. And you go like, you get super depressed and you're like, oh, I'm just a horrible person, because you are a horrible person. Right? We all are. And then you're like, or you are blind to your own failures and you get like, oh, I'm just an epic person. I'm so cool, yeah, I'm epic, I'm not sinful, I'm so cool. And you get super proud, which is basically the worst sin, right, is being all arrogant and proud, because that's what the devil did, right? And then suddenly, either way you end up being depraved, right? Either way you end up being messed up. The only way is when we focus, number one, before anything else, on the gospel, the good news, that Jesus died to save us from our sins. And his blood is so powerful. I mean, you guys have no clue. I have no clue how powerful the blood of Jesus is. You need to know today. Each of you need to know. Anything that you have done, that sin can be covered over by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven because of the death of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you did. It really does not matter. Yeah, you could be Hitler. I'm not even joking. You could be Osama bin Laden. It doesn't matter. You could be Donald Trump, right? I don't care who you are, right? That was a cheap joke, sorry. But you could be anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. The blood of Jesus Christ is enough for you to be forgiven of all of your sins and for you to have this life that is free from guilt and free from shame. That's the message of Christianity, and it's crazy good news. Right? And that's why David's like, oh my gosh, this life is so epic and blessed when you are not under guilt, when you are forgiven and free. Right? So this is the number one marker of a walk, of a journey with God, is coming under the gospel. Realizing it, the gospel is the first and the last and the thing. And we see what David talks about. How do we accept this? How do we let the gospel soak into our lives, right? Like, how do we let the reality of Jesus dying on a cross 2,000 years ago impact me today, right? Right here, right now. And that's what he talks about in the next part. So he says this, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." What he's talking about is when, how many of you guys have ever, when you were little, when you were like 5 or so, your mom's like, "Don't eat a cookie," and you ate a cookie. How many guys did that? All right, you guys don't want to admit it. Okay, yeah, everybody probably did. Okay, you ate a cookie. And then you remember, like, mom walks in the room, and you're like... And then if you were like me, I don't know if you're like me, but you're like me, like... I ate a cookie, mom, right? But that moment, maybe you guys don't have that tension, but you know what I mean? That moment of, like, guilt and, like, you're just like, anyone know what I'm talking about? Right? This is what David's talking about. David said, I did something wrong. And I was just like, and I felt God's hand heavy on me, you know? And I was wilting away on the inside. Let me tell you something. If you have unconfessed sin, if you have sin in your life, right? Something you've done wrong and you're hiding it and you're trying to like shield it. This is like going back to what I was saying. You're like, shield it all around. Let me tell you something. That will wilt you from the inside out. It will slowly strangle you to death. If you allow, like, sin to be inside of you, and you just keep, every time it starts to, like, suddenly almost get revealed, you just, like, cover it up, right? It's exhausting. I mean, how many of you guys know what I'm talking about? If you have unconfessed sin, it's exhausting. It is completely tiring and, like, wasting. And you'll go to the end of your day, just like, oh, man. I just lived a normal life today. Why am I so tired? Because you're trying to cover it up and you're trying to like, and God's hand as he's trying to bring about conviction, trying to bring you into the light, and you're resisting that. It's exhausting to resist God. Because he happens to be a lot stronger than us. I don't know if you guys know. He's a little stronger, so resisting him is really, really exhausting. You know, a couple years ago, it was a couple years ago in our super old youth house, I did a illustration during one of our talks about light and darkness. And so for the first like 10 or 15 minutes of the message, I like closed all the windows and shut off all the lights. And it was like pitch black in there. Like you couldn't even, like you could see nothing. Like it wasn't even like shadows. It was like complete darkness. How many of you guys have been in this kind of darkness? Okay, yeah. How many of you guys have been in that darkness for an extended period of time? Like 5 or 10 minutes? Or maybe even like half hour or an hour? How many of you guys have had that experience? Do you remember the feeling of like, there's gotta be a light somewhere? You know? And like, or you'll have like a little tiny something that you just want, like you just want to flick it on. Like, or maybe the power goes out. You guys ever had this? Like where the power goes out and you flip the light and it doesn't turn on, and that feeling of like, it's gotta turn on, you know? Like, and then I just remember while I was giving this illustration, as it went on and on, it got more and more just exhausting. Right? Because it was like, I can't really move. You know? If I move, I have to move like really slowly because I didn't want to like bang into something, right? Or hurt something. And just the light, and my eyes are constantly like, it's kind of like a phone when it doesn't have reception at the tower, and it's like, looking for a tower, and your battery's like, you know? And it was like that, you know, like in the dark, where you're just like, and then I remember I lit a candle, and it was like, oh, you know? And suddenly it's like this release of like having the light. Living in darkness will exhaust you. If you live in darkness, it will exhaust you. And we see the world struggling in darkness right now. But let me tell you, the light of the world has come. And he invites us to come into the light. But if we're going to come into the light, we have to let all of us come into the light. We can't be like, okay, God, you know, four-thirds of me is in the light. Two-thirds of me are in the light. You know, like, but not that part, you know, right? If you're going to come to the light, all of us come to the light. I'm going to read 1 John right here. This is 1 John chapter 1. It says this. 1 John verse 5-10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Do you guys remember what Psalm 32 said after this? He's talking about this, like, living in the darkness, right? This exhaustion of, like, God's hand being heavy on him and wilting away. And then in verse 5, he says this, I acknowledge my sin to you. He came into the light. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What did that verse I just read in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sin, if we tell God our sin, right, and say, I'm sorry, we confess it to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This hidden life of exhaustion and hiding, let me just tell you, if any of you are living it right now, life is a lot better when you're not doing this, and you don't have to live that way. Because right now, if you're living that way, I can almost guarantee you probably feel like, yeah, it is a little bit stressful, but I have no choice. This is where I have to live. Let me tell you something. You don't have to live there. There is freedom and light for you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And yes, I know there'll be crazy consequences if you tell your parents about some of this stuff, or you tell your youth pastor or counselor or whatever. But let me tell you something. The light is so much more free than the dark. And it is so much better than the darkness. It's so much better. So, how do we come from darkness into the light? Do what David did. Number one, we confess to God. Just like Ashley was saying, we confess to God. Come to God. Be real. He knows about it anyway. It's not like you were able to hide it from him anyway, you know? You confess your sins to God. And it's very simple, guys. You just come to God. You say, God, I know I've been disobeying my parents, and you tell me not to. I'm sorry. I want to obey my parents. Teach me. I'm sorry I did that. Or, God, I know you tell me to live in purity, and I'm looking at this stuff on the internet, I'm sorry. You know I'm looking at it. Please forgive me. That's it, guys. And let me tell you, you start there, God will start to bring, you bring into the light with the Lord, God will start bringing, like, power and freedom into that. When you confess to the Lord and bring things into the light, power starts flowing there. God will cleanse you, and you'll get forgiveness. And you'll get freedom. Second, the Bible teaches that we confess to others. This is like what Ashley was saying. In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. This is James 5:16, if you want to look up later. The other one is in Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 1. I'll read this one. Galatians 6, verse 1 says this. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, that means if anyone's doing something bad and is caught, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep a watch on yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God intends for, if you say you're wrestling with something, God intends for your brothers and your sisters to fight with you. Let me tell you something, because I can say this from experience. If you're struggling with, let's just say, for example, impurity, right? You're struggling with something that you know is wrong, you know is wrong, right? Let me tell you something. You're not supposed to fight that by yourself. The battle against porn, the battle against impure thoughts, is not meant to be fought in your bedroom by yourself with nobody else, right? Number one, you need the Lord's help. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to give you power on the inside to say no to sin. So you need to confess to God. And number two, God put us in community. So God meant for, if you're a guy, your brothers, to be praying for you, to be calling you up and say, how are you doing tonight? You tempted? Okay, let's talk. Let's pray together. God's going to deliver you. I know He can. Let me pray for you. Let me stand with you. Let me check up on you, right? Like if you're a girl and you keep going back into these places of depression or gossip or whatever, and you have a friend who says, you know what, I'm going to stand with you. That's not okay that you go back there. I'm going to pray with you. God's going to give us victory. We're going to stand with you. We're going to encourage each other, right? You weren't meant to fight these battles by yourself. Number one, you confess to God. Number two, you confess to someone else, right? This is just a side note. Let me just say this. In confessing your sins, find someone who is trustworthy and godly to confess your sins to. Don't just post it on Instagram, right? Post it on Facebook. Hey everybody, I murdered my brother. Find a godly person, find a mentor, find a brother, someone who loves the Lord, find a sister, someone who will fight with you. Someone, this is really important, find someone who will not coddle you in your sin. Find someone who will not say, oh, you know what, yeah, it's okay that you talk back to your parents. Everybody does it when they're a teenager. It's okay. Find someone who's not going to say that. Oh, you struggle with porn. That's just the age we live in. Everybody struggles with it. Keep trying, man. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's no big deal. Don't find a friend who's going to say that. Find a friend who's going to point you straight to Jesus and straight to His Word and is going to hold you accountable and call you on to follow Jesus. Right? But let me tell you something. When you take stuff out of darkness and bring it into the light, its grip gets lost on you. I can say this, Ashley was talking about this during worship, and I can say this from my experience too. It's like it has claws on you, these addictions and things. And when we confess them to God, and we confess them to others, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to spur us on, those claws of guilt, those of shame, those things that say you'll never be accepted if people knew this about you. You would never be allowed to really worship again. You would never be looked at the same way at youth group if people knew this truth, this thing about you. Let me tell you, if you confess to others, those claws get removed. Because what happens is, if you confess to a godly person, is the person wraps you up in number one, which was what? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And the power of that sin over life is broken because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And now we can live in freedom, right? And if you, when you confess your sins, you'll find freedom you never thought. Let me tell you just a thing. If you've been fighting against sin and you can't beat it, maybe it's because you need to confess to God and you need to confess to others. Hey, be like David and confess your sins one to another. All right. So these are all parts of walking with God. Number one is the gospel, the truth, that God forgives us for our sins. Christians are people who live shame-free lives. where people will lead guilt-free lives. Not because we haven't done anything wrong. We all know we've done horrible things. But we've been forgiven. And we've been given new life. Right? And then we're people who, when we mess up, we get back on track because there's forgiveness. Because these sins that want to, like, take over our lives, we can get freedom because we confess to God, we confess to others, and God sets us free. That's what the journey of a Christian looks like. And the third thing that a journey of a Christian looks like is the life of a Christian is protected. It's there's safety. I'll read. Back in Psalms 32, it says this: "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach you." Meaning, the person who prays, when the big flood comes in, when the tsunami comes in, those waters won't reach you. The one who calls on the Lord, right? It says here, you, Jesus is God, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. You know, whatever movie it is, whether it be like Lord of the Rings or whatever, you know, my favorite part of the movie is where, like, this is like every Chinese Kung Fu movie, too. It's like, you know, the heroes are, like, right there, and this big mob is coming from, like, every direction, and there's, like, three people at their back, and they're like, ah! You know, they're like, we're all gonna die, because we're surrounded by, like, 300 people versus, like, the two people in the middle. You guys know that moment? Right? And then what happens? What happens at that moment? It's pretty much always the same thing. The good guys come up, the cavalry arrives, you know, like, and there's this huge horde of people, and they show up, and what do? They give this, like, shout, and you're like, and the people in the middle are like, you know, and then, like, all the bad guys start running, you know, right? Okay, and sorry, it's a little graphic, but, you know, that's what always happens, right? Okay, you know? And what is that? What is that? When they crest the hill, you know, like in Lord of the Rings, when they crest the hill, you know, that army shows up. And they're like, you know, whatever movie, For Narnia, or, you know, or
Wakanda!
whatever it is, you know, like they crest the hill, and, you know, in that movie it's the bear people. You know, with the weird knobby sticks. They were so high tech, and then they just had sticks with knobs on the end. And I was like, what the heck is this? Did I ruin the movie for you? Okay, anyway. But what happens in that moment? It's the shouts of deliverance. And this is what David says. Do you guys see this? You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Let me tell you something. The life spent following God, and I say this from experience, because this is such one of my favorite things about following God. The life spent following God as a Christian is a life surrounded with shouts of deliverance. It is just the way it is. We Christians are victorious people. We just are. Because we happen to have the most powerful being in the universe on our side, right? And our lives are surrounded with shouts of deliverance. Let me just tell you something. If you as a Christian, I can guarantee this, if you as a Christian spend your life interceding and praying and asking for God to move, you will see Him move. Right? You just will. I mean, if you are not following God, then yeah, God, like, there's all these scriptures about, like, if you're rebelling against God, He's not going to answer your prayer. But if you spend your life following God and you intercede and pray to Him, you will find your life surrounded with shouts of deliverance. It's an amazing life. And this is a characteristic of the life of a Christian. In Psalms 20, verse 6 through 7, it says that some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we, the followers of God, we will trust in the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and of earth. Right? So you might say that some trust in tanks, some trust in aircraft carriers, but we trust in the one who made the mountains, who made the seas. Right? That's where our trust is at. But to tie this back into the one before, if you're going to come under someone's protection, you come under their authority as well. Jesus, when he was, right before he entered into Jerusalem, he's kneeling before Jerusalem, and he says this prayer over them. He's like, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You can just, as you hear this, you're like, man, Jesus is just like bawling over this city that he loves so much. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He says this, I so longed, this is in Matthew 23, I so longed to gather you under my wings. Just like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. I so desire to be that protection, to surround you with shouts of deliverance, right? I so wanted to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. And let me just say, if you refuse the authority of God in your life, then you can't expect his deliverance in your life. I mean, this is just like, let's say I'm a special forces in the U.S. military, right? Which, by looking at my body, you can tell I might be, right? But let's just say that for some reason I'm special forces. I'm in, Iraq or Afghanistan, and bum, 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 and my whole squad gets, annihilated, and I'm there, and I'm surrounded by, 300 people, bad guys, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, bad people, and they're coming in to get me, right? And I radio, and I say, hey, this is 909-73-73-73 Marine 2 Pelican 5. Come rescue me. My coordinates are this spot, right? And then I say, oh, and by the way, I now consider myself an Afghani citizen. And I am loyal only to the government of Afghanistan. I no longer take any orders from the U.S. government, or I deny my citizenship, and here is my burning passport. Post it on Instagram, okay? What is my government going to do? Are they going to be like, we will give anything to save you. We are sending in 50 squads of special forces, and half of them might die because we want to save you. No, they're going to be like, oh, okay, cool, adios. Right? Have fun. You know what I'm saying? Because to come under the protection of the U.S. government, you need to be a U.S. citizen. Let me tell you, if you're going to come under the protection of God Almighty, then you need to be a citizen of heaven. Right? You need to be a citizen of heaven. I think sometimes we want God's protection, but we don't want his authority. Right? And we hear these sermons and stuff about how God is our protector and all that's true, but then we reject his authority in our life and then we're all surprised why God doesn't protect us. Or we reject his authority. It's kind of silly if you really think about it. Right? Jesus is saying to you, he's saying to me, I desire to cover you like a mother hen covers her chicks. And let me tell you, Jesus is way more powerful than the chicken. Okay? When he puts his wings over you, you are a lot safer than under a chicken wing, okay? As good as chicken wings taste, you are a lot safer, right? Okay? You are a lot safer. But what did Jesus say to Jerusalem? You were not willing. You were not willing. Let me say, if you want to come under God's protection, you need to be willing to come under his protection of you. Okay, so number one is the gospel. Number two is the life of the Christian is characterized by freedom from guilt and shame through repentance, right? And then the life of a Christian is protected. It's safe. And I can still say this, guys. Let me just take a step to the side and say this. Whatever you're going through in your life, I know some people in this room right now are probably going through hell. Some of you guys are probably going through nasty, nasty things. Let me tell you something. Jesus will be your refuge. Jesus can be your hiding place, the place you run to, the place where no one can touch you. And I say this from experience. I say this, and too, let me just say, I remember the darkest part of my life was in the middle of my parents, split up and all that stuff. And I remember when it happened, and I remember just crying out to the Lord all the time. I remember being so overwhelmed, all I could say was just like, help me, help me, God. I didn't even, I'm so eloquent with words and stuff like that, but I had no clue how to pray besides say, help, help, help. That's all I could say. And I remember that time being like, people talk about, when I went through this hard time and God just carried me in his arms. I just felt so embraced. And I was like, I'm not feeling that right now. I'm just like running through the woods crying and screaming help. I'm not feeling that. But let me tell you something, because you need to know this. When I look back like a year later or 2 years later, I was like, oh my gosh. I had no clue how the Lord was carrying me in that time. And the way that he was around me, and the way he was protecting me as I ran to him. Even though I didn't feel it all the time, when I got on the side and I looked back, I could see, wow, God was protecting me. He was my hiding place as I ran to him. So, the life of a Christian is one that is protected. We have a place to run. We have a strong tower in Christ. Okay, the third thing is, or whatever, the next number thing, is that life with God is one characterized by growth. So check out verse 8 and 9. This is like, it switches over from David speaking to God speaking, and he says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. God doesn't just forgive us of our sins. He doesn't just like wipe away our shame. He also disciplines us and trains us so that we can grow, so that we can be stronger and better and live lives that don't keep falling into this junk, right? But instead are more abundant and full of life. Hebrews 12:6 says this. It says, those that God loves, he disciplines. He says, don't be surprised you're going through rough stuff. This is proof that God loves you. He's like, you're going through junk? Great, God loves you. Like, what? He's like, think about it. This is what Hebrews 12 says. Think about it. Dads, they discipline you. They do stuff you don't like. Why? Because they love you. God loves you. The fact that God's disciplining you proves that you are actually his sons and actually his daughters. So accept his discipline. God will discipline us and he will train us. He will lead us in his paths. And don't reject his training for your life. He says, see what his elders are like. Don't be like a horse or a mule. You know, how many of you guys have like ridden a horse or a mule or something like that? Okay, some of you guys have. And some horses, they're like amazing, right? I've ridden horses where you just like think right, you know, and like you adjust your seat and you kind of move your hand, but barely, and the horse is like, okay, I'll go right, you know? And how many guys have also ridden a horse where you're pulling on the rein so hard that its neck is like this, right? And it's like walking this way. How many guys have ridden a horse like this, right? And you're like, you stupid horse! Right? If you have a whip or a crop, you know? Oh, it's like, you know what a crop is? And yeah. Danny knows what crop is. She rides horses, right? If you have a crop, you like whack them on the tail until they do what you need to do, right? Because the horse is kind of stupid, right? Like you can't reason with a horse. You can't be like, oh, horsey horse. You know, it's in our mutual best interest. If you and I work together as a team, you know, and then you can get your oats, and I can get my Cheerios, or whatever it is. You know, like, it's in your mutual interest that we... No, horses are stupid. They understand pain and reward, right? You give them oats, they're like, I'll do that, right? You give them pain, I won't do that, right? That's all they understand. Let me tell you something. If you resist the training of the Lord, his discipline will be like it is for a horse. How many of you guys... I mean, maybe just think about this in your life. You resist the Lord. God convicts you. He points you back in the right, very gently. Like, hey, let's get back on track. And you are like, no, I don't want to. Right? And you keep going in that direction. If you walk with the Lord long enough, you know this is what he does. He'll push a little harder. He'll say, hey, Kenny, no, you can't go here. And I say, no. And I keep going, right? And what happens is, you get far enough down that road, his discipline starts to hurt really bad. The farther you go down that road in rebellion, the more his discipline will hurt. Right? Just like if that horse, you know, if I need to get home and there's a storm coming and there's lightning and I gotta get home, and that horse continues to run away from the barn, I will whip that horse and pull on his bridle harder and harder until he goes back where he needs to go. the more he runs away, the more I'm going to whip him. I'm going to be like, ah, well, you know, he's not really listening to me, so I'll just go die and get struck by lightning, right? You know what I'm saying? The Lord, and also because you don't want that horse, the rider could just hop off and like, fine, if you're going to struck by lightning, good luck, horsey horse, you know? But you know what I'm saying? If he loves that horse, he's not going to do that. He's going to keep whipping that horse to get back. Right? If my daughter sticks her hand on the stove, right? I'm going to say, no. Right? If she does it again, I will say, no. If she does it again, there will be increased consequences. Okay? There will be increased discipline. Okay? Why? Why? If she's doing something like the hot water dispenser. Why? Because I don't want her to have a deformed hand. I don't want her to have a deformed face from burned water marks. How many of you guys have seen people who have that? You know, right? I don't want her to have that. So I will discipline her and I will intentionally cause pain in her life because I love her. God will do the same for you. Don't resist the discipline of the Lord in your life. Don't resist the discipline of the Lord in your life. Please. If Kalila continues to resist my discipline, what's going to happen? She's going to get her face burned. I really don't want that. God, in His love, the definition of if you say I'm going to submit to God, your life becomes one under His tutelage, under His instruction, under His discipline. And God will discipline you because He loves you. This is true for your son. Don't be like a horse. Please, guys, don't be like a mule. Don't be like someone who's got to get whipped and whipped and whipped to get back. Instead, be like a logical, cognitive, smart human being that when the creator of the universe, who made everything there is and you, says, hey, it might be a good idea for you to do this rather than that. Okay. Right? Don't be dumb. Don't be like, no, you know what? I've been alive for 17 years, Mr. Universe. I know quite a thing or two about this world. And I know you, who created all things, say I should do that. But I like this one. And I'm pretty sure that you don't quite get it. So I'm going to go here. Don't be an idiot like a mule. Right? Or a horse. That he has to train to discipline. Instead, just obey Him. Why? Why? Because the life, and this is the last one, the life lived with God and His ways is a life that is so good. The life of a Christian is such a good life. And this is the end of the things. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Let me tell you something. When it says many are the sorrows of the wicked, it's talking about the long term. Let me tell you something. The short term, like the 5-minute term, or even like the day or the week term, the life of the wicked looks pretty awesome. Right? The life of someone who oppresses the poor so they can get rich, when they're on their yacht, on their trip to, you know, I don't know, some famous island, some Cancun or whatever. It looks pretty awesome in the short term. But in the long term, many are the sorrows of the wicked. But the life of someone who submits to God, what? Steadfast love surrounds it. Steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. You've got to get this, guys. What is the deepest desire of the human heart? What is the deepest desire of a human? It's not money. It's not comfort. It's love. That's really what we're all looking for. At the end of the day, we are all looking for love. Right? If this is a no-brainer, guys. Think about this. If I were to tell you, hey, you can live the next 60 of your years of your life. You won't be super comfortable, but you have what you need. And you'll have, and every relationship around you will be so fulfilling. You'll have like this life partner that you love, you have children, family, community, you can have that. And you'll, right here. Or, you can live on the planet Earth, you own everything, you're ridiculously rich, anything you want you can buy, but nobody else is on Earth. You live here alone. I mean, there's nobody on earth who would logically choose that. Right? They might choose that and enjoy that for like a week. But the truth is, every one of us is hungry for true love, for relationship. And this is what the life following God is surrounded by. The life of someone who trusts in God is surrounded by steadfast love. Not whimsical love, not love that's like, ooh, I like you. No, I don't like you. Ooh, you're kind of cute. I can see the cheese around you. Oh, I hate you. You're so annoying, right? This is not, that's not what this is, right? Like, steadfast love. Love says, no matter what you do, who you become, where you go, I love you till I die. Steadfast love. Right? And when it comes from God, he's like, and I happen to be that I don't ever die, so whoop-de-doo, right? Steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in God. So, kind of in closing, I'm right on time. Alright, so in closing, I want to just say this. Number one, do you feel guilt and shame? Is there something in your life that you feel like, oh my gosh, like, I messed up. Today, right here, right now, in this moment, you can be free from guilt and shame. Because that sin can be paid for. And if you're a Christian, it's paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. All your brokenness, all your sin, all your junk, all your hatred, all your murder, all that stuff can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the way that we get access is through confession. Through confessing our sins to God. Right? Confessing them to Him. And then confessing to each other. Right? There is, if you, right now as I was describing that, you know, living in the darkness, that exhausting place of hiding your sin and whatever, you can come into the light right now. The blood of Jesus is here waiting for you. There's freedom for you. Or, number two, maybe if you're like, man, my life is like a huge storm right now, and I have no place to go. I don't have a refuge. I'm getting thrown around by life right now. Life is just, you know, knocking me to bits. Let me tell you something. God says this, I will be your hiding place. I will be your refuge. I will be your strong tower, and I will surround you with shouts of deliverance. And if that's you, I want you to know this right now. You can run back under the wings of Jesus. You can get right here. You know what I mean? You can get right here under His wings and He will protect you. I say this from experience. I'm not saying you'll never feel any fear or pain or anything like that. But there is a safety. There is a place of deliverance where you can run there, and every time the fear comes, you can surrender that to your protector. Every time you're like, oh, but this person might get me, or this person might say this about me, or this might happen, or this might be said to me, or this might, you can say, you know what, like, you take those mites. You take those might happens. I will hide under your wings, under your shelter. Or maybe you are in a place where you feel stagnant. You feel like, I just, in my relationship with God, I just kind of feel like, right? I don't feel like I'm growing. I don't feel like I have life. Let me tell you. God wants to be your teacher. He wants to discipline you and train you. Oftentimes, guys, you know, like I'm a youth pastor, so I talk to people all the time, right? A lot of times people will be like, man, I just feel like in my walk with God, I'm just kind of like, you know? And I'm not... Let me just say that, I'll just say this, and you decide whether it applies to your life or not. But over and over and over again, when I hear from people saying, my relationship with God is just like coasting, there's usually an area of their life that they have refused to allow God to discipline them in. They're not growing in their walk with God because there's an area that God's already said, I want you to grow in this area. And they've said, no. So let me just... I'm just going to put this out here. I'm not saying it's any of you because I don't know your situations. I just know what I've seen over the last, whatever, 10 years of ministry I've done. If you feel like, man, I'm just coasting my life, I'm not growing, ask the Lord, is there an area of my life that I have been unwilling to submit to your discipline and your leading in my life? Let me tell you, you submit that to God, you allow Him to train you, you will start to grow. Alright. And the last thing, maybe either you're a Christian, or maybe you're not a Christian, or maybe you're like someone who you're kind of on the fence. Let me just tell you, life with God is good. I see this over and over again, where people are looking at life, like, from the world, and life with Christ. And they look at life with Christ, and they imagine, like, sitting in a pew, reading their Bible, being bored to bits, and, like, wearing a nun's outfit all the time. You know? And they're kind of like, okay, well, maybe that's, like, good, but, you know, I'm supposed to do all that. Right? Like, it's all, like, I'm supposed to. This is all, like, a supposed to thing. And they look over here at the life of the world, free of those restraints, and they're like, this looks like such freedom, and such fun, and such life, and such abundance, right? Let me tell you, that's a lie. That is such a lie. Just stop and think for a moment. The people who live this life to the fullest, right? The people who get all that, who go crazy, who are they? Celebrities, right? Right? All the money, all the sex, all the dating famous people, all the beautiful people, like all that, right? The celebrities, they get all that. Are celebrities happy people? Think about it. Think about how many celebrities are addicted to alcohol and to drugs and commit suicide. How many celebrities commit suicide? You ever think about that? Are getting divorced. Who have broken families. It's all messed up. Like, the most messed up people in our society is often the celebrities. And they have all that fun stuff. Right? But think about it. Think about it. This life over here with Christ, it's true good. It's true life. I mean, think about it. Have you ever met somebody who's like 7 years old? They've served God their whole life. You know, they're maybe 80, 90 years old. They've been married for 60 years. They're getting ready to die. And they're like, yeah. Like they say, like Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. Kept the faith. Boom. You know? And then you look back over your life and you're like, man, oh my gosh, I wish I could live. Just tell me for once, are those the people who are going out and getting wasted every weekend? Think about it. The people who go out wasted every weekend, if they do that, what are they going to look like by the time they turn 40 or 50? Right? Think about it. Yeah, I mean, we never even think about this. People doing that free stuff, they're in chains and bondage, in jail, in addictions, in broken families. That's where they're at 40, 50, 60. When you go into that freedom. Right? And who has the real abundance? The people who submit to God. Right? The people who submit to God, their lives are full of what is really good in this life. I mean, I don't want to say this in pride, but I just want to say this as an example. Those of you who know me and Katie, our life is a hardship, right? We've had some good things, we've had some bad things. But let me tell you something. We believe in living in God's ways. And can you not see that we love our life? Can you not see that God has blessed our life? That we are happy and that we are full of joy and life. And we have meaning and we have purpose. I mean, if you know me and Katie at all, you know that. And it's not because we're all epic and, ooh, we're so cool. It's because I've submitted to the creator of the universe. And this is what he does when you submit to him. If you want a marriage that is happy and fulfilled, submit your love life to the Lord. If you want to make sure you always have everything you need, submit your finances to the Lord. If you want to be fulfilled in your life and not go through your life feeling like, man, I always feel empty, submit the direction of your life to the Lord. Because a life lived for the Lord under His leadership is good. Jesus said this. He said, the thief, the enemy, the one who says, hey, go party, hey, go and sin, go and all this stuff. That's the enemy. That's the Satan. The thief came to steal. He comes to take from you and to destroy you. But I came, Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. You submit to God, He will give you abundant life. That is a promise that happens every single time. It never ever fails. You will have an abundant life if you submit to God. The life trusting in God is surrounded by faithful love. And the life living for ourselves, running after the things the thief is offering us, is surrounded by sorrows. The life lived in sin is surrounded by sorrows. The life surrounded, submitted to God is surrounded by faithful love. It's just the way it is, guys. And I know on the front end, on the quick, the short term, it doesn't look like that. But it's a lie. A life lived for God is the only one worth living. Let's pray. Jesus, I just want to lift up anybody here, God. Lord, maybe there's some people here who have never, I don't know whether, like maybe they're Christians, maybe they're not, but they've never accepted the gift of Jesus' death on the cross. They've never said, Jesus, I accept your gift on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. God, I want to pray you move on their heart right now, and that they would be willing to give their life to you. In just a moment, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give, if that's you and you want to give your life to the Lord, you want to accept the gift of Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you a chance to do that in a second. And God, I want to pray for those who are living in darkness right now, God. I want to ask in the name of Jesus that you would give them courage to step into the light, to surrender to the light, to confess their sin to you, to confess their sin to another godly person, so that the grip of shame and guilt can be released off of them and they can live in the freedom that you have for them. If that's you, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that in a second too. God, I want to pray for those here who are scared, who are afraid, who don't know if they're going to make it. God, I want to pray that you would speak to their hearts right now in the name of Jesus and teach them to run to you. That you will be their hiding place. That you will take them underneath your wings. God, for those who are here, who are resisting your discipline in their life, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you give them the courage to say yes to you. To lay down their rebellion. To lay down the resistance of you. And like that song, we just sang, say, I surrender. I surrender all to you. Have your way in me. God, I pray for anybody else here who's struggling with looking at what the world has to offer and looking at what you have to offer and thinking that somehow what the world has offering looks better. Pray in the name of Jesus that you'd show them that a life trusting in you, surrounded by faithful love, is so much better than the sorrows that surround the life of the wicked. God, I pray you give them courage in Jesus' name. Now, as you're listening, if you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe, I don't care if you've grown up in a Christian home or whatever, or if this is the first time you've heard it or last, but if you've never said, Jesus, I give my life to you, I accept the gift of Jesus' death on the cross for my sins so I can be made clean and forgiven, I want to give you a chance to respond. So, if that's you right now, or just everybody keep your eyes closed. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand, and then I'll pray for you. So let's just pray together. Yeah, like, everybody just pray with me. And if you raise your hands, pray this from your heart. Say, Dear Jesus. Can you guys all pray with me? Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I give my life to you.
I surrender to you.
I accept the gift of Jesus' blood for my sins. Thank you for forgiving me. And thank you for giving me new life in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Jesus. And I also want to say this, maybe there's some of you who you've been in rebellion to the Lord and you know it and you need to come back. Like, this is a moment right now where you're like, okay, you know what? I need to stop resisting his leadership. I need to stop resisting him. I need to stop being like a horse or a mule, and I need to submit myself to the Lord. And if that's you, then you just raise your hand and I will pray for you.
Yeah, God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray, thank you that they, those here are making decisions right now to be submitted to your discipline. I pray that you be, give them courage to follow you. Thank you, Lord, that you discipline us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you discipline us because you love us as a father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to give us just like a minute or two now. And whatever is going on here, if you whatever business you need to do with the Lord, I'm just going to give you a little bit of time. Maybe you need to submit to Him in an area of your life. Maybe you need to just give your life to Him. Maybe you need to think of Him, realize that He's your shelter. And you need to run and be like, hey, hide me, Lord, beneath your wings. Hide me in your shelter. Whatever that is in this moment, I just want to give you a moment to speak to the Lord. So let's just take a minute and then I'll close. As you guys continue to keep your eyes closed, if any of you are like, hey, Kenny, I'm like in a place where I need God to be my refuge. I just need to hide in Him because life is so crazy right now. I need a hiding place. And would you just pray for me? Just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. If you're in a place where you're like, I need a hiding place, I'll pray for you. Amen. God, you see my friends here who need you. Lord Jesus, you see them and you love them. God, come right now in the name of Jesus and surround them with your presence. Hover over them with your wings, God, that your spirit be so present and with them right now. Cover them with your wings. Be their hiding place. Be their comfort, God. Be their peace, God. Be their peace, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the spite of all the storm, speak peace, be still, over the waves of their life, God. Lord, I pray that their heart will be steadfast in trusting you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. I hope you know that. I really do. I really love you guys. If any of you need to respond in any way to any of this, if any of you guys need to confess sin, if any of you guys need someone to pray with you, if any of you, like, are deciding to follow the Lord and you want to just talk through that with somebody, like, I'm here, my wife's here, Ashley's here, Pepe's here, Hope's here, so, like, please, find, like, one of the adults, and we would, like, we'll totally walk with you in this, okay? Like, I'll totally buy you lunch, and we'll, like, hang out and all that stuff, okay? So, like, please, like, this is such good stuff. And, so, yeah, let's walk in the path that God has for us, okay? All right, we're done for today. God, I bless these people in the name of the Lord. May you bless them and keep them. May you make your face to shine upon them. May you be gracious to them. May you grant them your peace, God. And I pray that tonight as they are eating and fellowshipping, that they would be full of your presence and your Holy Spirit, and that you guide all the conversations to your glory. And I pray that we'd all be built up to chase you with all of our, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.